Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Deuteronomy. We'll read Deuteronomy chapter 6, the verses 1 through 9. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let's now turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. We'll read the verses 1 through 9. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now we come to the text for this morning, the verses 8 through 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this week as I was wondering what shall I preach on during the three Sundays that the Lord willing I'll be leading you in worship, and I thought to myself, it's Father's Day this Sunday, and so what would be something that I could preach on in connection with Father's Day? And then it occurred to me, I could use text from Proverbs, and therefore I chose this text today, which speaks of the key role of fathers, but next to them, that of mothers. And of course, fathers and mothers have children, and children are called to obey their father and mother. And that's also what this book of Proverbs homes in on. The book of Proverbs is a unique book. The wisdom of Proverbs differs from wisdom literature found among the nations of the earth. Even when the book of Proverbs addresses everyday situations, there's a spiritual dimension that sets it apart from just your average, you know, Chinese or Greek wisdom literature that might be out there. There's a spiritual dimension that we see in the book of Proverbs. The instruction takes place in the context of the covenant. It's the context of the bond of love that God has established with us. And within that bond, He calls us to love Him and those around us. He gives us His laws to teach us what that love looks like. And there's a lot to learn. The Proverbs are directed, first of all, to those who are young. Proverbs 1 verse 4 refers to a young person, the young man. The young person, that term that is used here, is a young person up to the age of marriage. And those are the formative years in a person's life. A foundation is being laid for a lifetime. But when it comes to biblical knowledge and wisdom, learning never stops. The verses 5 and 6 give a promise to those willing to study the Proverbs. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. And chapter 1, verse 7 then highlights the basic principle. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so, as I said a moment ago, the book of Proverbs is different than other wisdom literature that we can find in the world. A worldly person, an unbeliever, can't say this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. An unbeliever doesn't acknowledge the Lord as God. Earthly knowledge and wisdom, therefore, differ fundamentally from what God gives. The world holds scholarship in high esteem. However, an academic degree doesn't guarantee spiritual insight and maturity. This is even true for Christians. Brilliant scholars can still be fools when it comes to understanding and applying the truths of Scripture. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where true knowledge starts. And how do we learn about fearing the Lord? Who can teach us? Proverbs 1 highlights the instruction of your father and the teaching of your mother. And that's where the spiritual learning process among God's people normally begins, in the home. Parents are to teach their children the basic principles of true biblical wisdom. If you grew up without the privilege of having godly parents, learn from our text what Christian parenting involves. This will equip you if you are a parent. And even if you aren't a parent, it will also help you encourage the fathers and mothers among us. Any of you may have opportunities to interact with the young people of the congregation, and our text gives you reason to encourage them too. And so we come to the theme for the sermon this morning. Take the instruction of your parents to heart. And we'll focus on two points: the importance of this instruction, and secondly, the beauty of obeying this instruction. Take the instruction of your parents to heart. We'll focus on the importance of this instruction, and secondly, the beauty of obeying this instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For, here's the reason, they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Now, what do the words of our text presuppose? What's the underlying idea here? And the underlying idea is that children have a lot to learn from their parents. It also assumes that these parents are God-fearing people. And that's why they can be trusted to impart biblical wisdom to their children. And compare this to certain ideas and attitudes in our culture. There's a strong focus on the value of being young. And this can feed the belief that parents and other older people are outdated and disconnected from reality. According to the Bible, however, children are out of touch with reality. The reality of life in the covenant with the Lord. They have a lot to learn in life, and they're not always eager to learn it. Proverbs 22, verse 15 makes this point by saying that folly is bound up in the heart of a child. And the word folly means foolishness. It's what fools do. And the Hebrew word for a fool possibly comes from a word meaning to be thick, and therefore to be thick-headed or stupid. In the book of Proverbs, however, the word fool doesn't point to someone who lacks intelligence. It's about someone who lacks morals. He or she doesn't acknowledge God and live by the standard of God's law. And the proverb, folly is bound up in the heart of the child, means that children lean toward evil behavior right from the start of their lives. They're born with wrong inclinations. And that's a miserable way to start life, isn't it? But when God tells us this, He isn't saying this to push us down, but to lift us up. He also gives us wisdom through His Word. And our text shows us that parents are instruments in His hands. It pleases Him to work through fathers and mothers in the lives of their boys and girls. He uses them as instruments to further His work of grace in their lives. They are to instruct the next generation. And this instruction gives direction and hope. It involves teaching the children to know and acknowledge the Lord as God. They need to recognize what sin is and their need for forgiveness. They need instruction about God's grace revealed in and through Jesus Christ. And by recognizing Jesus Christ as the ultimate source of wisdom, they can learn to know the Father. They can also learn to pray for the renewal of their lives that comes through the work of the Spirit of Christ. And this forms the foundation for their lives. And without such instruction, unless God graciously intervenes in another way, children will follow their natural inclination to lead a godless life. You can see this in society around us. It can happen within the church, too. Parents, our text is alerting you to your responsibility for your children. Be active in providing for more than just their physical needs. You have an important task in their spiritual development. And pray and work on this. None of us is up to such a challenge without God's grace. Children can be very headstrong. When they're two or three, they often insist on doing things their own way. And that's part of growing up, but it can be a problem. And when the teenage years come, similar situations can arise. Teenagers like to think for themselves. And that's not by definition bad, but if they're unwilling to receive correction from their parents or other grown-ups, they can do very foolish things. It takes time, patience, and energy to deal with this. Be faithful. Don't give up. And let's now take a closer look at our text for this morning. It speaks first of the instruction of your father. You can see the term used earlier in the verses 2, 3, and 7. And the word in Hebrew is a noun that includes the concepts of instruction and discipline. It's related to a verb meaning discipline, chasten, instruct. Now, what's the underlying concept? It's teaching that includes correction. You fathers don't want blind submission from your children, do you? You want them to grow in understanding the Word of God. Correction may be necessary to reinforce such instruction, but the instruction comes first. Without positive biblical input, you won't be teaching your children to do the will of the Lord, but your own will. And your children will know that you aren't pointing them to a higher authority than yourself. And that sets the stage for a battle of wills, with your will pitted against theirs. It can lead to frustration and bitterness in the life of your child. Don't separate instruction or discipline from the covenantal relationship we have with the Lord. In Proverbs 3, verses 11 to 12, we hear an admonition. Proverbs 3, verses 11 to 12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. The discipline of the Lord expresses his love as our heavenly Father. We don't deserve such love. It's a gift of his grace. He disciplines us, he chastens us for our good. And he can use parents to accomplish his purposes. Earthly fathers, therefore, should be careful to discipline their children out of love. And whether it's instruction, a rebuke, or some form of punishment, love should be the context. And if love is the context, what's the goal? The goal is to keep the lives of the children within the bounds of the covenant, the bond that we have with the Lord. And those of you who are fathers need to listen carefully now. You represent the Lord in the lives of your children. He has entrusted them to your care. Your authority over your children is God-given. Use that authority on his behalf. Teach your children to know the Lord and his word. And if you have to correct them, do this in a loving way. That's how they learn to love the Lord and to love people around them. And not only fathers, but also mothers have an important task in the lives of their children. Our text refers to the law of your mother. The law of your mother. Now, the word law actually can also be translated as teaching. The Hebrew word used here is Torah. And the word Torah embraces both law and teaching. The Lord gives his people his law or teaching within the covenant. The relationship that he has established with his people. And did you know that the first five books of the Bible, the books of Genesis through Deuteronomy, are referred to as the Torah? And they include a lot of instruction about who God is and how he has dealt with his people. But his Torah also includes his will as to how to respond to this, living in a relationship with the Lord. And so what Torah should you mothers be passing on to your children? Give them more than just a list of rules to live by. Teach them about the Lord. Impress upon them his forgiving love and his great patience with his people. Teach them about Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, the Savior of sinners. And within that context, focus also on the will of God, the laws that he has given us to live by. Life within the covenant is life with the Lord in the light of His Word. It takes a lot of time to teach children this. The mothers have a vital role here. They're usually the caregivers on the home front. And don't just take care of the physical needs of your family. Do what you can to further the spiritual development of your children. Society talks about working mothers as if mothers are only working if they have a job outside the home. And that's nonsense. Those of you who have a family to care for know how much energy is involved in raising your children and caring for their needs. You have obligations toward your husband, but you also have to be there for your children during their growing years. And it's your God-given task to teach them well. Lay a solid basis during the preschool years and continue to guide them in the hours before and after school if you happen to be sending them to a school outside the home. Christian schools are important as an extension of the instruction given at home. But don't expect the teachers, even in a Christian school, to make up for what parents neglect to do at home. They have to deal with a whole classroom of children, children with different backgrounds and needs. And you know your children better than teachers do. And that puts you in a unique position to give them special instruction and correction. They need this. Our text speaks of this as a team effort. Fathers and mothers working together in raising their children for the Lord. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. So don't despair. Don't give up on them. Take seriously what the Bible says about how to deal with folly. Corrective measures can bear fruit. Proverbs gives us various snapshots and snippets of insight regarding how to raise children to become wise, mature adults. Sometimes it may be necessary to discipline them. That becomes pointless, however, if it doesn't go together with consistent, loving, biblical instruction. Proverbs 29 verse 15 reminds us that the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Biblical instruction consists of teaching a child what to believe and how to think and behave. And this includes disciplining a child when he or she goes in a wrong direction. And the purpose here is correction. Whatever you do, do it prayerfully. Pray for guidance in teaching the children God has entrusted to your care. Study the Word of God. Remember, however, that knowing a lot about the Bible is not enough. You need to live by the Bible. Now, how you live is at least as important as what you say. Just imagine a parent shouting, "Why are your kids always yelling at each other?" If you tend to use the volume of your voice to teach and discipline your children, don't be surprised if they do the same to make a point. They've learned it from you. How can you teach them self-control if you don't model that kind of behavior yourself? If you're sarcastic and overly critical of them, don't be surprised if they're harsh and abusive in the way they interact with others. They'll have a hard time showing love to others if you don't show them how it's done. Prayerfully strive to reflect the forgiving love of our Heavenly Father and show the fruit of the Holy Spirit, namely love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you mess up and fall short as parents, ask God for forgiveness and for wisdom and strength to do things in the right way. Don't be afraid to confess to your children that you have sinned. Ask them to forgive you. It's important for them to see that you need God's grace as much as they do. Parents have a responsibility before the Lord. Fathers and mothers need to give godly instruction to their children. You children also have a responsibility. Take the instruction of your dad and mom to heart. Listen carefully. Be patient with their weaknesses and shortcomings. Understand that the Lord is working through them in your life. And this brings us to our second point. Boys and girls, our text commands you to hear your father's instruction and not to forsake your mother's teaching. And as you grow up, you will face situations that confuse you. Sometimes you don't know what to think or what to do. And it pleases our faithful God to use your parents to help you along. And that should give you hope as you struggle. The Bible equips them to guide you to know and do His will. And so be open to their instruction and teaching. And as you respond, you will see God's faithfulness in your life. His promises are not only for your dad and mom, they're for you too. Our God shows His covenantal love from generation to generation. He will bless you as you take His word to heart. Now don't think that this sermon is mainly for the parents and young people among us. Learning to become wise starts when you're young, but it doesn't stop there. If you're an older person, think back to the days when you were young. Don't the lessons learned then continue to apply whether you're married or not? Whether you're a parent or not? My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Through our text, our God is reaching out to all of us. Work with what you hear or have heard in the past. And the verb hear, my son, hear the instruction of your father, means more than just the physical act of hearing. You can hear a person's instruction and ignore it. In our text, the word hear, however, means listen. Listen to the instruction of your father. And listen implies that you need to pay attention to and respond to the revelation or instruction given. And think of the basic creed recorded in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. What a beautiful confession that is. It's not simply information to be heard and stored in your memory. It calls for the activity of faith. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord is the one true God in a world that worships many idols. And Moses then goes on to tell God's people what the response of faith should be. Hearing involves obedience. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And Moses continues, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. They shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Teaching. And that's supposed to happen on an ongoing basis, Moses urges God's people to do more than just take the words of the Lord to heart personally. He commands them to talk to their children from day to day in all the various times that they have an opportunity for interacting, to talk to them and to weave the faith into the everyday conversations. God reveals himself and his will through his word. And parents are to pass that revelation on diligently to their children. It's not a one-time event. From day to day, they need to ensure that their children won't forget what is taught. And that involves a lot of repetition and training. Teach the children. Correct them when this is needed. And encourage them. They need to know when they're on the right track. They need to hear that it delights the Lord and that it gives you joy as well. What are children called to do? Respond to the instruction you receive from your father and mother. Think about what our text says. Hear, my son. Hear the instruction of your father. That's a command. Listen to what your father says. If it's according to the Bible, let it impact what you think, say, and do. Our text continues, and forsake not, do not forsake the law of your mother, the teaching of your mother. What she impresses upon your heart is important too. Never forget that. Never toss it aside. Did your parents teach you to be a God-fearing person? Treasure the wisdom they gave you. Put into practice what you have learned from your father and mother. Love the Lord in your daily lives. Suppress the urge to rebel against biblical teaching. And that requires humility and submission, a willingness to learn. And without the listening attitude that our text calls for, you will be foolish. You will grow up to be people who don't fear the Lord, fools who despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 15 verse 5 tells us, a fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. If you as a child take correction seriously and change, you are doing the right thing. And can you imagine how much joy it gives to your parents when they see you taking their good instruction or discipline to heart? They might feel joy on Father's Day and or Mother's Day when you show appreciation for what they mean to you. But guess what, boys and girls? Nothing can compare to the joy you can give them every day of the year. Proverbs 10 verse 1 says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Respond to the teaching, the instruction of your parents, doing your best to love the Lord your God and those around you. Pray for strength to obey God's will throughout your life. Our text highlights how beautiful it is when children respond positively to what they have learned at home. Look at Proverbs 1 verse 9. The parental instruction and teaching will be what? It will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. You young people will probably interact from some of your own age group who are outside the church. And it may be tempting to be secretive about your upbringing. It's not cool to say that you go to church and attend two worship services on Sundays. And maybe you find it embarrassing to say no if you get invited to a wild party. It's normal to want to fit in with those around you, right? If you really want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to make choices. choose to turn away from sin and do God's will, no matter what the consequences may be. Jesus Christ once said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And what are you going to do when you have to choose between Jesus Christ or giving in to peer pressure, the pressure of your friends around you? What are you going to do? Are you going to be ashamed and mumble something about your parents being uncooperative? Or will you stand straight and tall and say, no? Will you give a clear answer to people who ask you, why not? Young people at the time of our text would proudly wear a garland or a wreath on their heads or a pendant or chain around their necks. And nowadays, quite a few of you wear some kind of chain or necklace too at some time when you're a teenager or whatever. Why would you do that? If you would ask someone who's wearing a chain or a necklace, whether it's a guy or a girl, why would you do that? What's the response you would get? Well, I like it. And generally, you wear it in a way that it can be seen. And our text is telling you, let the instruction you have received from your parents be like the chain or ornament you might enjoy wearing around your neck. What you have learned distinguishes you from others. Don't hide it. Don't be ashamed of how you have been brought up. It sets you apart in a positive way. Boys and girls, you are members of the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's a privilege, a gift of God's grace. It would be foolish to turn your back on that. And beloved, what a joy it is to serve the Lord. He is a faithful God working from generation to generation. And what a joy to see evidence of his work in the lives of the children among us. The simple faith of children can be heartwarming. Praise God for that, and pray that his work in their hearts may continue. Pray for the young people as they grow up. Pray especially for those who are having a hard time understanding the wisdom of leading a God-fearing life. May the fruit of the Spirit become visible in their lives. Don't we belong to a community of faith? The Church of Jesus Christ. Let's live in faith, relying on God's grace from day to day. Outside of him, there's no salvation. Without him, we would all be on the road to destruction. Love the Lord. Treasure anything good that he has given to you through your parents. And show what it means to know and serve him every day. Amen. Let's now pray together. In our prayer, we will remember also that there's a synod of the URCNA to be convened in Escondido, California from June the 17th to June the 21st. Delegates to this synod include Pastor James Roosma and Brother Detmer Dedens. We will also remember that the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, sister churches, have their General Assembly this week. And we'll also pray for Detmer in connection with the fact that his brother is terminally ill with a brain tumor. They hope to visit him in the Netherlands in the near future after synod. Let's unite in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gifts of your grace. We thank you for the gift of parents. We thank you for God-fearing parents. We pray for those among us who are fathers and mothers. We praying for any who have to raise a child without the support of a spouse, how difficult that can be. We pray, Father, that you will be with the parents as they face the various challenges involved in raising their children according to your word, mindful of your promises and also the demands that you lay upon your people as you have revealed who you are in the riches of your grace, but also what our calling is as parents and children, and the challenge of living up to this, guided by your word and spirit. We pray that we may all remember and put into practice good instruction learned from our parents and others, also by office bearers in the church, that the Lord may be glorified in our lives. We pray, Father, for children who are wayward and not responding well to the instruction of their parents. Perhaps children who have already left the home and have chosen ways that are not according to your will. We pray, Heavenly Father, that in your grace you will reach out, working true faith and repentance in the hearts of such children. And we pray for your blessings on all the children in our midst, boys and girls, as they grow up, that they may hear and respond to the teaching of their parents. On this day, which is Father's Day, Father, we are mindful, first of all, of you as our Heavenly Father and the greatness of your love. We pray that you will continue your work in our lives, each and every one of us, and that you will guide us as we have need of it, whether we are young or old. And we pray that you will continue your work of grace in our lives. We pray, Father, that you will receive our thanks for the many blessings that you send, also the blessings that come in the form of God-fearing parents who train their children. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be not only with us as a local congregation, but also with the churches as they convene through their delegates in Synod in Escondido, California. And we also remember the General Assembly of the OPC that is scheduled to be convened this week. Father, we pray for wisdom and discernment for the delegates of the churches that gather together. May they deal in an orderly way with the matters put before them. And may in their discussions and in their decision-making, your word be held high. And we pray that you will endow the brothers as they gather together with what is needed to seek the peace of Jerusalem, the well-being of the Church of Jesus Christ. And may the church continue to be built up on the foundation that you have laid through Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone. And we pray that you will continue to give what is needed to the churches as they gather together. And we pray for safe travels for all the delegates who are still on their way or will be traveling tomorrow. We pray for health and strength for each and every one of them. We remember also Pastor Ruzma and Detmer Dedens. Father, we also are aware of the special burden that Detmer has in dealing with the terminal illness that a brother of his has, a brain tumor. We know that all things are in your hands. We pray that you will bless whatever treatment this brother still receives, whether to alleviate suffering or to bring about any kind of improvement. We pray above all, Father, for peace. We pray that you will be with this brother as his earthly tent is deteriorating, and that you will give him the firm conviction that he has a home with you through Jesus Christ. And may that be a source of comfort and strength. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will receive our thanks for this day of rest that you give to us, a day of worship, for you are worthy of all praise and honor. Will you continue to guide us also in our fellowship together after this service? May your name be honored in every way. And will you continue to be our guide through your word and spirit? We pray this also for all of our activities in the coming week. Will you grant us the strength that we need to do our work, to be engaged in whatever activities that you give to us in a way that honors you. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.